There are some people who do not like the negative. They say, give us positive doctrines, man. Forget about the negative warnings, negative advices, negative reproofs. But the negative warnings and commands grow out of the positive truths of Christian doctrines. No amount of positive talk about health will cure a ruptured appendix. The doctor has to be negative and take it out. No amount of positive talk about beauty will produce a beautiful garden. The gardener has to be negative and pull weeds. The positive and the negative, they go together. And one without the other leads to imbalance. And this morning in our text, we turn from the positive to the negative. So for those of you who do not like the negative, this is your last chance to make a quick exit. Paul is talking about the Christian and his character, the Christian and his conduct, how he is to live. Paul is teaching about living a new life in Christ. We have completed the first part of Colossians, chapters 1 and 2, which is doctrinal. We are now in the second part, which is practical. Shortly after a person has been born again, that person realizes that we Christians have a dual nature, a carnal, fleshly nature, also referred to as the old man, and a spiritual nature, also referred to as the new man in Christ Jesus. So continuing our study of the Christian and his character, his conduct, we will see what we are to do with this dual nature that we have. And Paul starts with the old nature. He starts with the old man. So if you turn, please, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. This section here, verses 5 to 11, is about putting off the old man, about certain things that we are not to do anymore. The next section, next week, verses 12 to 17, we will learn about putting on the new man, those things that we are to do to live a new life in Christ. So he says in verse 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So the Greek word for put to death in this, the original writings of Colossians, is nekro, means mortify, subdue, keep under your members. That would be the members of our body. Put them to death. Deprive them of their power that they have. Destroy their strength. And Paul will get more specific about what to keep under. He has two different lists of things to put to death, of things to mortify. Unfortunately, it is not a one-shot deal. It is not, I accept Jesus Christ, the old man is dead. It is not that simple. It is a constant thing. We may be able to keep the old man down for a while, but when you least expect it, that old bugger pops up again. Just because you are able to put him down does not mean that he is going to stay there. It's a constant battle. The members of the old man can come back right up and give us trouble. Now, not only was Paul negative in this paragraph, but he named sins. And some people do not like that. These sins here belong to the old life and have no place in the new life in Christ. So Paul's first list has five things in it. And they have one thing in common. They are sensual sins. They deal with sex. So for those of you who do not like to talk about sex, this is your last chance to make a quick exit before we start. So he has five things in this first list of things that we are not to do anymore. The first one is fornication. And I will give you in each word the original, how it is written in the Greek. This one is porneia. We get our English word pornography from this word. It means sexual immorality, sex acts, including adultery, sex outside of marriage. Fornication, sex before marriage, including incest. This would be fornication. Number two is uncleanness, akatharsia, impurity, filthiness, homosexuality, lesbianism, pedophilia, sexual perversion with children, bestiality, sexual perversion with animals, will fall into this second group, uncleanness. Number three has passion. The old King James says inordinate affection. The Greek has pathos, lusting, a state of mind that excites sexual impurity. Number four, he has evil desire. The old King James says evil concupiscence. I'm glad they changed that to evil desire. The Greek is kakos epitumia, a deprived desire for what is forbidden, knowing that it is wrong. Desires lead to deeds. Appetites lead to action. And if we want to purify our actions, then we must first purify our minds and our hearts. We must stop thinking about those things that will lead to impurity. Bring them into captivity to Jesus Christ. Yes, Satan will bring them to your mind. It is not a sin when they come to your mind. It is a sin when you play with it. So when they come to your mind, it is not sin. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, please remove those things. This is garbage in my mind that I don't need, that may lead me to action. And number five is covetousness, pleonexia, the sin of always wanting more, whether it be for more things or more pleasures, including sexual pleasures. Eager to have, jealous, envious. The 10th commandment of God says, you shall not covet. Interesting that God put it number 10. This sin can make us break all the other 9 commandments of God. So these things here in that one verse, that one list of Paul, are the things that we are to put to death. They are not to master us any longer. As a child of God, born again of the Spirit, I am not to yield to these inclinations anymore. I am not to be controlled by these sensual sins, giving in to the flesh. Now, Paul makes a comment about the last one here. He says that covetousness is idolatry. Well, is it covetousness or is it idolatry? Which is it? Whenever we see this word, idolatry, what comes to mind? What do we think about? idols, statues, people bowing down and praying to those statues. The Greek word is a long one, very long, idololatria, which is image, idololatria, worship, image worship. How can covetousness be idolatry? Think about it for a moment. Covetousness is to be eager for gain. It is wanting. Wanting for who? Gain for who? For me. I would not covet for somebody else. It is also greediness. Greedy for who? For me. Jealous, envious, for who? Again, for me. So it is idolatry, image worship, but in this case, the image is me. Covetousness is the sin of always wanting more. The covetous person is never satisfied with what he has, and he is envious of others, of what others have. Covetousness put things in the place of God. The covetous person puts himself in the place of God, worships himself instead of God. That's why Paul says covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things belong to the old nature. We have been freed from these things because of our new relationship to Jesus Christ. John said in his first letter, 1 John 3:9, that whoever has been born of God does not and cannot practice sin because the seed of God remains in him. The problem that we have in our Christian life is that we have redeemed spirit dwelling in an unredeemed body. Our spirit is redeemed, but our body is not and will never be redeemed. It is returning to dust and not returning to God like the spirit is. It is not going to enter heaven. The inside is, but this body is not. It is going into the dust and is going to turn into dust. So there is a spiritual warfare, a warfare that is constantly going on. The warfare is for the control, the dominance, the dictate, the power over the mind. Who will run the mind? Both the spirit and the body want the control over the mind. But only one of the two can have the control. That's why we very often do not do those things that we should do, or we do those things that we would not want to do. The redeemed spirit wants to do it, but the unredeemed body is fighting against it and sometimes wins over the spirit. Because we give the dominance, we give the power, the control to the flesh instead of to the spirit. So these things mentioned here in chapter 5, five things. These things we are to mortify. Not a one-shot deal. It's a battle. We got to keep those things down. We got to keep those things out of our lives. Then he says, why? Because of these things. The wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because of these things listed in the previous verse, the wrath of God is coming, that time of great tribulation that will come upon the sons of disobedience, upon those practicing and delighting in these things. Not talking about a slip, someone who ended up doing one of those things. He's talking about people practicing these things, delighting these things, enjoying doing these things. in which you also once walked when you lived in them. Paul adds that we also walked in these things, but it is past tense. That would be before we were born again. It is a part of the old unredeemed life. And Paul talked about this in Ephesians chapter 2. He said there in Ephesians 2 verse 1, He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. So that was then. Now, we may still have desires for those things, but they are to be put to death. Now, be careful that you do not go too far with the sovereignty of God, expecting God to do everything. Well, if He wants me to do this, He will do it in my life. It is a cooperative effort. You cannot take a totally passive attitude towards those things here. If God wants me to be holy, He will make me holy. You cannot be passive towards these things, because these things are powerful and they are dangerous. We have to make a stand. We have to arm ourselves. We are in a warfare. Several times the Bible tells us that we are in a warfare. We need the whole armor of God that God provided for us if we are going to stand. But it is our responsibility to put it on. It is our part to do. But now, you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. But now that we have been born again, now because of our new life in Christ, now that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, things are different. Now Paul has a second list of things to also put off. This list is very different from the first one. The first one consisted of sexual sins. This one here contains social sins, bad attitude towards others. Now, we are so accustomed to these sins here listed in this verse 8 that we are no longer upset when we do these things. We are no longer convicted anymore about these things. Yes, we are shocked when we see a church member commit sexual sin. But we will watch him commit the following sins in here and say absolutely nothing. We are so accustomed to Christian people getting angry, wrath, being malicious, to blaspheme, use filthy language. We don't get upset anymore. We are not even convicted by the Spirit when we do these things. Yes, the first list, oh Lord have mercy. But the second list, no big deal. So Paul mentions six things. The first one that he says is anger. And the Greek there is orge. It is a state of mind, a desire to punish, really being angry with what was done or said. This is a sin. Do not let anyone tell you otherwise. Here we are told that we must put it off. We must put it to death. we must kill it. Anger is a sin. And I'm getting angry. No, I'm just kidding. This is misunderstood by so many. Because in Psalm 4, verse 4, quoted again in Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. So many people believe, yes, it is okay then to be angry as long as we do not sin. Wrong. Anger itself is a sin. A sin that we are told that we must put off. It is written right here. We must put this off. What is meant then in Psalm 4 and in Ephesians 4? That we must be angry at sin. That's what it means. Be angry at sin and don't do it. Be angry and sin not. A righteous anger against sin should characterize us as children of God. Only righteous indignation is acceptable in our new life in Christ. So let's not be confused. It is not okay for us to be angry. It's a sin. We must keep this violent passion under until it dies. Put it off. The second one is wrath. The Greek word is thumos. Fierceness, fury, rage. That would be blowing up, exploding when something is not going the way that I want it to go. Or when something is said that I don't like to hear. Now, what's the difference between the two? Well, the first one, orgy, describes an internal attitude. It may not happen very often, but it is a long-lasting, slow-burning anger. It is nurtured in the heart. Totally forbidden for us sons of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:22, whoever is angry with his brother is in danger of the judgment. This is what Jesus said. Now the second one, thumos, comes from the word, the verb thuo. It's a violent motion. So this one describes an external attitude. The first one is an internal attitude. The second one is an external attitude. A sudden outburst of anger. It happens more often than the first one. It is quickly kindled, but just as quickly dies. The second is an outburst of the first. Both are wrong. Now remember one thing. When I get angry and I blow up, I am wrong. I am sinning. I cannot try to justify it by saying that other people should not have done what they have done to me. They should not have said what they have said to me. I am to be controlled by the Spirit of God who dwells in me. I cannot blame others. I cannot justify anger or wrath even if others have done or said awful things to me. I have sinned if I am angry. I have sinned if I am wrathful, and I need to repent. We need to remember this. The third one is malice, kakia, depravity, maliciousness. Mischievous, wicked. There are people who really are malicious. They do not care who they hurt. We see them at work. They are people trying to advance, to get high in the company. And they do not care who they step on in order to get ahead. Now, how do we know if we are malicious or not? There's one way to find out. If we are sad when another person is successful, or if we rejoice when another person has trouble, We are malicious. And this is sinful. Number four is blasphemy. Blasphemia. Evil speaking, defamation, slander. Speech that slanders others. Speech that tears them down. Gossip. This is one thing that gossiper did not know. They are blasphemers. People think of blasphemy as something against God. Yes, it is. But it can also be against other people. Gossiping. Slandering them. Defaming them. Number five is filthy language. Ascrologia. Vile conversation. Foul speech. Indecent humor. Obscene language. Dirty jokes. For some reason, many Christians today think that it is macho or it is modern to use this kind of speech. They want to blend in well with the other people, with the unbelievers or those at work. In our new life in Christ, these things must stop. We do not talk like the rest of the world. And later, when we get to chapter 4, verse 6, Paul will say, let your speech be always seasoned with salt. Salt is a symbol of purity. Then in verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So here is the sixth thing that we must also put off. Lying. Pseudomai. To tell an untruth, to attempt to deceive by falsehood. This can be done with words or with actions. The tone of voice, the look on the face, a gesture of the hand can alter the meaning of a sentence. There is an old proverb that says, half a fact is a whole lie. Half a fact is a whole lie. A lie is any misrepresentation of the truth. Even if the words are accurate, it is possible to use accurate words in such a way that it is a lie. We can tell a lie with our mouth. We can also do it by cheating on our time card, expense account, income tax report. We are not to be mastered by anger or malice or lying any more than we are to be mastered by fornication or covetousness. This is part of that old nature, the old man that must go. Put these off. The picture here is that of a person changing clothes. I took off my jacket. It's gone. And that's what we're supposed to do with the old nature. Remove it. Put off and put on. This also relates to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he arose from the dead, he left the grave clothes behind. Likewise, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus instructed the people to unwrap him, to remove his grave clothes. The grave clothes represent the old life that is sinful. So the grave clothes represent the old life with its sinful deeds. Now that we have a new life in Christ, we must walk in the newness of life. So the old man is not to have dominion in our life. He is not to rule over us anymore. Now notice here that Paul says that these things must be put off.
He did not say that these things must be cast out of us. He is not talking about exorcism. He's not talking about some spiritual people laying hands on us and casting out demons of anger, demons of wrath, or demons of malice. These are not little demons that have moved into a person. These things are part of the old nature. They have always been there. They did not just move in last week. We must appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit and gain victory over these things. There is no simple solution. There is no easy way. You cannot ask someone to cast those demons out of you, and then you don't have problem with anger anymore, and you don't have problem with malice anymore. It doesn't work this way. So we have five things to put to death, and we have six things to put off. And next week we will see eight things to put on. So 11 off, 8 on. In verse 10 he says, "And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Have put on the new man. Look at the order here. The putting on of the new man cannot be done until first the old man has been put off. In verse 9. Many people try to put on the new man while keeping on the old man also. There is no room for two of them, even though some of us may appear to have room enough for two. One must go before the other one can come on. Another thing that we see in this verse is how the new man is being renewed. There's only one way. In knowledge, not any knowledge, but knowledge according to him, should have a capital H, Jesus Christ, who created him, small h, the new man. We were formed in God's image, and we were deformed from God's image by sin. Through Jesus Christ, we can be transformed into God's image. God's purpose for us is that we be conformed to the image of His Son. So yes, we were formed in God's image, and yes, we were deformed by sin, but it is possible to be again transformed and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. As we learn the Scripture, the new nature is being renewed and strengthened. Again, we see the importance of learning the Word of God. And verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Where? In Him. In Jesus Christ, there is no ranks, no positions, no cultural differences in Christ. No Greeks or Gentiles, no Jews, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarians, no Scythians. You see, the Greeks considered all non-Greeks to be barbarians. And the Scythians were the lowest barbarians of all. But in Christ, there is no political status, no economic status, no rich, no poor, no Irish, no Mexicans, no French, no Asian, no Caucasians, no Negroes. In Him, there is no race, no nationalities, but Christ is all and in all. Circumcision was a badge of separation unto God. The circumcised had absolutely nothing to do with the uncircumcised, would not even eat with them. But God receives the uncircumcised just as well as he received the circumcised. The slave had no right whatsoever. His owner could whip him. He could even kill him. There could be no communion whatsoever between a slave man and a master. But again, in Christ, these two became one. Those who were high were brought low. Those who were low were brought up so that we could all be on the same level. He broke down all walls of separation. And in his letter to the Galatians, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 28, that there is neither male nor female, even erasing differences between the sexes. So all that is left are two groups, Christians and non-Christians, in Christ or outside of Christ, sons of God or sons of disobedience, nothing else. It is wrong to build the fellowship of the church on anything other than Jesus Christ, his person, his work. Ministries that are built on human distinctions, such as race, color, social standing, are not biblical. So as you can see, yes, there are two different natures within the person who has been born again. A carnal, fleshly nature and a spiritual nature. And these two are constantly fighting for the control. Here we are told what we are to do with the old nature, the old man. We are to put it to death. We are to deprive it of its power. Destroy the strength of it so that we will be able to put on the new nature, the new man. The old must go off first before the new can come on. So we are alive in Christ. Therefore, we should seek those things above, those things in heaven. And we are dead in Christ. Therefore, we should put to death. We should mortify the earthly, those things of the flesh, so that we can become more and more like Christ. Let us bury the old man. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we pray that you would pour your spirit upon each and every one of us here. I pray, Lord, that you would give us power from your Holy Spirit to have victory over the old nature, that we would be able to put off the old man, to mortify the deeds of our old life. We are not what we used to be. We have been renewed by you, the creator of the universe. Thank you, Father, for what you have done in our life. We pray, Lord, that we would have that power from above, that we would just put off that old nature. Help us, Lord, with our minds, our hearts. Help us, Lord, with our bad attitudes towards others. Help us, Lord, to behave like your children. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you had a rough time with the old nature, with the old man, if you cannot keep the old life under, if you would like prayer, there will be men to pray with you in the prayer room, on my right, your left. So don't leave knowing that you are struggling.
The Lord wants you to live a victorious Christian life, to have victory over the old nature. All you want is for you to come to Him. He is the source of power. When Jesus went up to heaven, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to indwell us, to equip us. So if you have been struggling or are struggling, just seek the Lord today before you leave. May the Lord be with you. May He pour His Holy Spirit upon each and every one of you. May He watch over you, protect you this week. And may He help you to mortify the flesh, mortify the old man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.